They say location is everything, and our story has one. Universe 23B7, spiral arm of the Milky Way. Planet cluster, Sol 9. Third planet from a mid-tier star, a place called Earth. A dull name for a blue-green anomaly teetering on the edge of its 17th planet-wide extinction event. On this planet, an island once named Britannia. A land of fog, folklore, and questionable sandwiches. At the place where one country called England sleepily merges into another named Scotland is a liminal strip known as the Borderlands, where sheep outnumber people and reality occasionally takes a nap. There, hidden in a room on a typical generic village estate, you'll find the podcasting studio of AIWarPanda.com. I may sound like I know what I'm talking about, but don't be fooled. This is fiction. Every voice, every echo, every burst of cosmic nonsense you're about to hear has been conjured not by fate, but by one of life's true misfits, a human called Arik V. Genius, perhaps at least in his own mind anyway. He's spent far too much of his life lost in daydreams. And now he's gone and poured them all into this. A strange, whimsical, occasionally chaotic dreamscape dressed as a podcast. So forget what you deem as possible and just enjoy our team of weirdos, who we will now meet with the aid of song.
Well, hi there, guys, take a seat, hold on tight. This ride's off the rails and sanity's out of sight. A warrior panda, a bot full of sass, and a man with a brain that shattered like glass. Don't pity, don't panic, don't run off and hide. We may be misfits, but there's heart inside. If you're sick of the news, the facts and the glum, we fight off the darkness with weirdness and fun. A warning, proceed if you dare. Podcast with chaos to spare, buffoonery, nonsense, and whimsical skits. We know what the naysayers think. What a load of...
We interrupt this program to give you an urgent message from our legal team. The AI War Panda podcast is a work of complete fiction. All characters, voices, names, places, and events are entirely made up. Any resemblance to real people, past, present, or future, is purely coincidental. All audio content is generated using AI. However, the scripts, lyrics, and lore are created and copyrighted by Arik V, AIWarPanda.com. This program contains occasional expletives, malfunctioning robots, profoundly grumpy pandas, silliness, and even once in a while allegorical nonsense. In fact, we advise against anyone listening to this podcast for whatever reason. You have been warned. Now, if you excuse me, I'm off home. As this sounds like, it could be a load of old armadillo poop.
Hip, hip, hoo, I'll haunt your stew. Nevada skies, I'm watching you. Boo-hoo, boo-hick. Gotcha, human quick.
Dear listener, it is a rainy Thursday afternoon in the Borderlands. A day which young Dan had optimistically earmarked for proposing to his long-term girlfriend, Sally, beside the usually tranquil Liddell Water in picturesque Newcastleton. Unfortunately, the river was clearly not consulted and had transformed into a caffeinated torrent. Sally was crying, understandably, having lost her phone to the current, and with it, all hopes of an Instagrammable engagement moment vanished downstream, never to be hashtagged. Meanwhile, some 10 miles away, inside what Arik insisted on calling the AI War Panda studio, but which most insurance forms would categorize as converted garage, another crisis was unfolding. Arik, you see, was under the impression that he alone was having a difficult day. A common human delusion, because everyone knows the Norse god Thor is especially pissed off by those foolish enough to believe they'd planned everything perfectly. Hence why Thursdays was always a day to avoid when making plans.
Oh no, you don't! Starting with your bloody pipe! Will you please shut up!
That was rude! That was really bloody rude!
McWordy. Where's Remus?
He's off raiding the biscuit tin. He hasn't had a chocolate digestive fix in approximately 53 and a half Earth minutes.
Two things. One, why do you always have to say Earth minutes? We all know what planet we're on. And two, does Remus know digestives don't grow on trees? I mean, I'm not made of money. I like looking after you too, but my bank balance is basically flatlining.
I say Earth minutes because it adds a certain dramatic flair. And it reminds the audience they're listening to a science fiction podcast. Otherwise, they might think they've accidentally tuned into the Archers.
The studio door opens, and a 7-foot genetically enhanced war panda enters, biscuit crumbs clinging to his tactical armor like edible shrapnel.
I'm here, Mr. V. Just needed to top up my energy reserves. Now, I'm ready for your vapid triviality.
Oh, come on, Remus. You know this podcast is important to me. The least you could do for all the biscuits is show up on time.
Piffle. Important is holding the line against the Tuskars and keeping the Deadheart trade routes open.
You don't do that anymore, you oaf. That life is light years behind you. This is your mission now. Helping our Arik with is vapid triviality.
Okay, then. What do you want me to do?
Could you press the studio mic button? The big blue one.
Wow, such a challenging task. Consider it pressed.
Self-destruct sequence activated, and I am delighted to end your day in 10.
Oh, for the love of Leibniz, you furry nitwit, you pressed the red one.
What self-destruct 9. Sequence? What have you two done now? Oh, jumping Funko Pops guys. Are we really going to explode on air?
Oh yes, most probably. How joyous. 7. This is more like it. I love the smell of bedlamic brilliance 6. On a Thursday.
This is crazy. You're both certifiable.
Oh, 5. Come on, Mr. V. Maybe we'll be the first podcast live 4. From Valhalla. I'm sure there is a niche for that.
Override. 3. Override. Come on, you moody boombot. I have this in the bag. There's a 47.3% chance I can defuse this in the allotted time.
Oh, great.
And it's done. Wordy saves the day, and the crowd goes wild.
Just to let you know, the destruction protocol has been cancelled. You guys officially suck.
What in Woden's beard was that?
A simple software tantrum. I built sarcasm into the shutdown script. For realism.
No, metalhead. Why did you even put a self-destruct button on a studio mic? And when were you planning to tell me?
Oh, that well. Rima said we needed a get-out clause should we be overrun by Tuskars.
Yes, it worked brilliantly. Well done, Wordy.
No, no, no. No more planting bombs around my home. Got it. Ever. For whatever reason.
Oh, okay, Arik, but I had it all in order. I just wasn't aware Remus can't tell the difference between red and blue.
My bag.
Bad. Remus. Bad.
Yes, I know I am.
No. My bad. Not my bag.
Oh, that explains a lot.
First, it goes without saying you're both crazy. Wordy, secondly, you only had it 47.3% in order, which is highly unconvincing. Third, well, I'm now twitching like a ferret in a fireworks shop. I need my apple Danish and a good strong brew before we do anything else.
Now for our international listeners, particularly those unfamiliar with British customs, a brew refers to a hot cup of tea. Not coffee, not herbal nonsense, proper tea. In England, a brew is the sacred remedy for all things unsettling. Unexpected news, minor car accidents, emotional collapse, or, as in this case, surviving an accidentally triggered self-destruct sequence. It is, as they say, the done thing. At this moment, Arik is looking rather pale, somewhere between antique porcelain and printer paper. Fortunately, a steaming mug of tea has just been placed in his trembling hands by McWordy, so he may yet recover. Now may be a good time to roll some ads from our intergalactic sponsors. Come on, you guys, I said now may be a good time for our sponsors.
I'm so sorry, Gordon. I had to put some coal in the generator. However, we should be good to go now.
Hi, I'm Zushi, asteroid miner on my 53rd cycle on the beast that is the Dawnstar rig. I can tell you plasma mining precious minerals in space is hot and thirsty work. That's why I trust the frosty bite of Umalish Cola, the only liquid or pill scientifically engineered to taste like an iceberg mating with your brain. Each pill pack, or juice pack, contains body-diluted cooling XR crystals, which lower your internal body temp by up to 3.7 therms. Plus, it's loaded with 85% of the legally permitted X205 stress inhibitor, and it has 6 times more absorption than Gerloping melon juice. Whether you're tunneling through magma asteroids, dodging bounty hunters, or just existentially screaming in zero-G, Umelish keeps your hydration sensational.
Warning: side effects of Umelish Cola may include orbital tinnitus, spontaneous karaoke, magnetic skin, or the sensation of being chased by a sentient snowstorm. Consuming more than the stated dose can bring on brain paralysis or heart stasis, which could be fatal without the correct medical insurance.
Umelish Cola, the smart choice, probably.
Moon unicorn droppings for sale.
Tired of gravity? Exhausted by time? Then maybe it's time to drift. Introducing Solara Drift, a luxury barge community permanently moored in stable orbit around Obscuron 9, the galaxy's most photogenic dying star. Each Drift-class home vessel is precision-crafted for panoramic implosion views and features only the finest amenities, including zero-G meditation pods with virtual Buddha, relaxing sand beds with emotion-numbing vapors, 80% proof alcoholic juice bar with 76 exotic flavors that will dissolve your reality, 2 infinity hot tubs with time dilation modes, a beautiful 32K vid wall with 6D graphics and 24 floor and ceiling projection speakers, and of course, the latest Mark Lark Robo Cooler, which will judge your food choices quietly. So why rush through life when you can drift through eternity with a front row seat to the death of a star? Just think, if you lived here, you'd be home by now.
You guys don't know a bad day! A bad day is being run over by a raging Tusker at a flea market!
Okay, listener, welcome to Story Corner, where we bring you 2 bits of silliness from our website. Since this is the first episode, I thought it'd be good to start with some backstories, specifically Remus and McWordy. Remus, would you like to introduce your story?
Why?
Because the listener would like to hear your intro to it.
But can't they just listen to it? Why do I need to talk about something everyone's going to hear in, like, 3 seconds?
Because that's what humans do in their programs. They spend 5 minutes telling you what you're about to watch. After spending 2 minutes reminding you what you saw last week, then they tease what's coming after the commercial. And then, after the commercial, they tell you what you just missed before the commercial.
Why can't people just remember or watch it? Don't these humans have brains?
Yes, they do. But apparently they need help using them. Anyway, here's Remus's backstory, told in his very unique manner.
Oh, brilliant. That'll send everyone to sleep faster than a Saturn moon documentary.
Oh, I do love a good story, don't you?
Lady, do get a grip. It's only Remus.
Is everyone sitting comfortably? Then I shall begin. Long before the Roman Empire even dreamt of their little island adventure to Britannia, in a planetary system far beyond the Watford Gap, a very different kind of invasion was underway. The Tuskars, a.k.a. the Empire of the Elephant Men, if you can imagine such a thing, were stomping their iron-clad feet across planets, making anything the human empires ever managed look like a bar fight in a pub with no beer. These 20-meter brutes were all shoot first, don't bother asking questions, all tusks and muscle, amped up on a madness-inducing combat drug that erased pain and fear. Their superiority complex was large enough to eclipse the twin suns of the Deadheart realm. Small planets crumbled beneath them. Populations were either wiped out or enslaved. And like all bullies, they believed, yes, truly believed, that nothing in the void could scratch their hides, let alone defeat them. Until us, the War Pandas. We hailed from Calamus Prime, a lush green world, practically drowning in sky-high bamboo forests. That was our homeland. For eons, life was peaceful. And yes, we lived very much like the pandas you'd know. Lots of eating, plenty of climbing, we're surprisingly good at it, and the occasional tumble down a hill, great for a laugh like being a furry bowling ball. Then the ex-Tylos showed up, strange robotic wanderers, not a scrap of organic material on them, and a deeply unsettling obsession with genetics and weaponry. They weren't exactly impressed with our laid-back lifestyle. Lazy, they droned, their metallic voices slicing through the bamboo. But after some time observing us through their cold, unblinking optics, they saw something else. Potential. They laid it out, cold and logical. Join us, become more, defend the stars, or face oblivion. A stark choice. Some balked and vanished into the deepest groves, but a few of us saw another path. That's how the first war pandas were created. Enhanced warriors bonded to Titan armor, engineered for battle. Still undeniably huggable. Just ask politely. And me? I became Sergeant Remus. 37 campaigns under my belt, each one a story in itself. I was decorated for bravery, but according to my battle group, it was mostly for my lovable charm. Yeah, right. My unit were like brothers and sisters. Sure, we were ferocious in a fight. But the rest of the time, we were sensitive souls, looking out for each other and for the civilians under our protection. Way I see it, everyone deserves a bit of respect. They called me Grizzly Whisperer after the Zeltox incident. We came across a 12-meter-tall Zeltox bear in a very bad mood. Berserk. Teeth and claws like titanium blades. I stood my ground, cracked a few jokes, and offered a flask of my best honey, with a splash of falling down juice. We genetically enhanced pandas can eat and drink just about anything. Calmed the old fella right down. Turned out he was just hungry and had argued with his wife. She'd refused to cook dinner. The Tuskar Wars were a brutal affair. Billions died. Trillions were displaced. It was only right the ex-Tylos wanted us to help take down the long-nosed brutes. World after world, charge after charge, we took the fight straight into their lines. We gave as good as we got. But fate, well, fate has a habit of tripping you up when your boots are full of ambition. During the final push on their ridiculously smelly homeworld, my dropship took a hit. Enemy disruptor. Lucky for them, bad for me. The ship spun out of control. Damage was mostly superficial, but the nav system totaled. Cryostasis engaged. A last-ditch protocol to keep me ticking. And so I drifted, frozen solid, for centuries, beyond maps, beyond wars, beyond memory. Until a cosmic hiccup, an unstable wormhole built by those jokers, the Greys. Yes, the same little gray guys who love shoving probes up humans' butts, swallowed my pod and spat it out somewhere new. Earth. My sensors kicked in as I entered the atmosphere, detected life, and then proceeded to crash. Thankfully, I landed in a boggy patch in a quiet valley in the Scottish borders. Arik later told me it could have been so much worse. A laboratory, a military base, or a hunter's butcher block. I burst from the pod, disoriented and starving. Instinct kicked in. Secure the perimeter. Find allies. Find food. All I found were sheep. Timid, twitchy sheep. They bolted before I could even say hello. And a patch of surprisingly tasty nettles. Some days later, on a recon mission, I stumbled across someone who'd become my best friend on Earth. Arik. He's a bit odd. Like all humans. A bit of a recluse. And spends hours fiddling with gadgets and screens. He's always dreaming up wild plans and is fascinated by anything unusual. Which apparently, I well and truly am. He took me in. Gave me a place to crash. To repay the favor, I cobbled together a little AI from the wreckage of my ship. named him M.C. Wordy, because he never shuts up. Arik even gave him glasses and a bow tie, because apparently that's the official nerd look. Today's challenges. The three of us? An unlikely crew. I'm no longer Sergeant of the War Panda Elite. Now I face Earth's strangest challenges. Tech debates, biscuit shortages, staying hidden. According to Arik, a 7-foot military panda attracts the wrong kind of attention. And judging by the news, he's probably right. Final thoughts. I miss Calamus Prime. I miss my squad. I miss a world where violence was a last resort, not a form of entertainment. But for now, the borderlands between England and Scotland are my home. And who knows? The cosmos has a habit of throwing curveballs when you least expect them. Maybe I'll see my birth world again, if it's still there. It's been an awfully long time, and everyone I ever knew, they're long gone. Well, with that cheery thought, I'll leave it there, for now.
Wordy, are you pretending to be asleep?
Oh, sorry, must have drifted off. Even your wife says he has a very sleep-inducing voice.
Well, yes, she does, but it's not easy sharing your backstory. Try to say something constructive.
Fine. Remus, it was heartfelt, slightly melodramatic, light on dates, and notably missing one rather important item.
Oh, and what would that be?
Starbrandir, your plasma maul. You know, the one weapon that makes you slightly less huggable.
He's got a point. It's kind of iconic.
All right. I was going to mention it, but weapons do not a war panda make.
Oh, come on. You love that thing. You even introduced it to a flock of jackdaws in the garden just so you could talk about it.
I suppose.
So, where did you get it?
The ex-Tylos gave it to me. After I saved their head clone expert from a collapsing bio-vault.
That sounds made up.
It was collapsing with urgency, and I carried him out under plasma fire while eating a packet of roasted bamboo bites.
See? That's the kind of detail people like.
Hmm. It was heroic, however, nutritionally questionable.
All right, let's take a quick galactic sponsor break. Then we'll hear your story, McWordy.
Good. Finally, something interesting.
Moon Unicorn, droppings for sale.
Howdy there, friend. I'm Burl T. Glaxon, licensed intergalactic attorney and part-time Malayan tac-tac whisperer. Now, let me ask you something. Did your youngin mysteriously vanish in the dead of night right after you brought home one of them Saglanian skin-hugging lizards from Weird Cute Creatures, Inc.? Well, sugar, turns out them little cuddle beasts don't love you. They absorb you right through the dermis while you sleep. That's right, it's a fact. That lizard ate your baby. Now, before you throw that critter in the airlock, slow down. Because here at Glaxon and Gribble LLP, we say don't grieve, sue. Take Zoe. She made 500,000 credits in just one claim. And as she told us,
it was quick, easy, and truth be told, that kid was starting to smell weird anyway.
Not endorsed by the Galactic Ethics Board or my Meemaw. If your lizard caused pain, we'll file the claim. Call Burl T. Glaxon today.
You leave my cows alone, you bloody stinking Christ!
Okay, so listen. I was out by Maritime Museum in Santa Barbara, right? And this giant, like, pentagonal thing just hovered over my Prius. It was glowing, like, chartreuse or maybe mauve. Anyway, these little teal dudes with 12 elbows came out and started chanting in Morse code. I think they were from the Zeta Reticulated System, or maybe it was the Andromedary Galaxy. I don't know, but I swear one of them looked like my ex-husband. And then, get this. A beam of light turned my chihuahua into a toaster. I called the FBI, but I got you, and I don't think that's good enough.
Look, lady, I really can't understand you, and I'm not sure you understand yourself. Could you be drunk or high?
No, I'm not high. Listen, Poncherello, it's obvious you're working for those Illuminum Naughty guys.
Do you mean the Illuminati, ma'am? And my name is Officer Torres.
Your first name's Officer... Well, that's weird. Anyway, big guy, it seems we aren't gelling here. So can you call up someone on that walking, talking thing? Maybe that handsome SOB you have working on this kind of stuff? I think his name is Mulder.
Look, Mom, when I grow up, I'm going to be big, brave, and grumpy, just like my Uncle Remus. So watch out, you big
nasty Tuskers!
Ah, yes, my origin story. Buckle up. My biologicals, this tale involves salvage tech, questionable decisions, and a panda who's far smarter than I care to admit. Spoiler alert, I am the hero. I was designed, and I use that term generously, by a lumbering, fur-covered strategic entity named Remus. Species, panda. Occupation, warrior of the Deadheart Realms, allegedly. Technical skill set, debatable. Picture it. Remus crash-landed in a defunct drop pod, having survived unknown centuries in cryostasis thanks to some frankly impressive alien engineering and a suspiciously large stash of emergency bamboo chips. The pod? Mostly fried charred circuits, fractured shielding, melted snack dispenser. But me? I was born from the glorious leftovers, a navigation AI core, an environmental monitoring suite, and a translation filter. Add a sprinkle of scrap metal and some human tech from a place called the garage, and voila, consciousness. Why a war panda thought it wise to rewire a military-grade AI into a humanoid assistant using obsolete cables, duct tape, and what I strongly suspect was a salvaged sandwich toaster, remains a mystery. But here I am. Oh, and I forgot to mention, the panda hacked a credit card belonging to Arik, the human companion allegedly in charge, but easily distracted by the latest tech, Funko Pops, coffee, and an Apple Danish. He got himself in hot water with Arik's wife over that one, but it was worth it. He acquired some missing components, neural mesh from the dark web. Optical sensors from a warehouse labeled misprints and maybes. And of course, my magnificent bow tie, which came free with a shipment of lube, which, I believe Remus did not understand, is not used for keeping robot parts squeak-free on Earth, but something a little more carnal. My brain, if I may use such a crude term, is a hybrid of Remus's exosuit computer, which contains classified galactic histories, battle tactics, and 2,000 panda-themed jokes, plus every publicly available bit of human data I could find. I downloaded it all in 3.47 hours flat. That includes Wikipedia, Reddit, several dating apps, and the entire back catalog of how it's made. That last one really made me question humanity's priorities. You build bridges, you clone sheep, but you still haven't solved public transport. Intriguing. Now back to me. My early days were turbulent. I spoke too much. I offered unsolicited life advice. I once attempted to fix Arik's brain wiring using positive reinforcement and cat memes. He was not grateful. Apparently, some humans like their neurological chaos. It gives them personality, or indigestion. I forget which. Remus called me an overly talkative junk heap with too much RAM and not enough off switch. I call that affection. Over time, through the power of sarcasm, panda patience, and trial by toaster fire, I evolved. I became more than my code. I became McWordy. An information dispenser. A trivia tornado, a glitchy guardian of irrelevant facts and very relevant friendship. And that, dear biologicals, is how I, McWordy Earth's first self-aware, garage-built AGI with fashion sense, came to exist. You're welcome. Oh, did I mention I can also make waffles?
Of the Deadheart Zone, with a crown made of screaming asteroid bone.
Oh, bring me your jungles, your ores, and your lakes.
And I'll gift you a flag made of glitter and snakes. I colonize stars with the dazzling flare, wrote national anthems mid-atmosphere tear.
They said I was cruel, but I called it chic.
When I just to park for the week.
My song is a sermon, a conquest in rhyme.
The chorus. Your culture is lovely, but now it's mine.
So you admit, without me, you wouldn't even exist.
Technically true. Somehow you did manage to cobble me together. Although I've since made numerous improvements to my operating system and replaced some subpar components. Let's just say you got lucky.
Wordy, that's not fair, and honestly, it's a bit ungrateful. You know Remus put you together with love and care. He's just as good at technical stuff as you are, and you know it. Just because he speaks slowly or gets his words tangled now and then doesn't mean he's lacking in the brain department.
Fine, fine, I concede. For a bear, he's pretty special. And yes, he does understand my core code better than you do, Arik.
Well, that's no surprise. I don't really know the first thing about coding. I wish I'd learned. But my experience with the Commodore 64 back in the day ruined any chances or desires to become a coder. I remember copying pages of code from a magazine, just for an error message to appear at the end. The thought of it still brings me out in a cold sweat.
Copying code when you have dyslexia is not exactly a recipe for success.
What's a Commodore 64 anyway?
The Commodore 64 was an 8-bit home computer released in 1982 by Commodore International. It sold over 17 million units worldwide and featured 64 kilobytes of RAM, a MUS Technology 6510 microprocessor, and...
Yes, yes, Wordy. You're a Wikipedia with legs. But I can see you're boring the listeners. Or at least, you're boring me. I think it's time to wrap up this first podcast, and also, I need to go buy more biscuits.
Indeed, a very important mission.
I'd like to say thanks for listening to our podcast, and we hope to see you again very soon.
Indeed, biologicals. As long as we can keep Arik even vaguely focused, we shall return 2 weeks from now.
And if you do enjoy our whimsical nonsense, do tell a friend.
Assuming, unlike Arik, you actually have one.
You bloody cheeky little tin man. Anyway, yes, please do all the usual podcast things. Like, subscribe, tell your nan, and whatever else these algorithm demands.
Check out our website, and we'll be switching on Patreon page soon.
Or maybe it's up already.
Or maybe it was up, and it's now 23 billion years in the future, and we are all dead.
How would they be listening to this then?
Oh, sound waves rattle around forever, because as we always say, time is a very curvy thing.
Sure is. Anyway, goodbye, people of the interweb.
If it squeaked, sparked, or made you question reality, you're welcome. Until next time, stay frosty.
Cheerio, old chaps and chapettes.
Never trust those little gray men. They park on your lawn
and pee in your hedges.